Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
You know, I don't often talk with the praise team about my messages. You know, I just let them kind of be led of the Lord. But I did talk to them about today's message. I told them, I said, you know, what's been really on my spirit is to talk to you, to preach about the name of Jesus. And so, you know, the worship that we had this morning was focused on the name of Jesus. Amen? You know, and it's so important that we understand what it is about that name. You know, as that song said, there's just something about that name. There is something about the name of Jesus. And so today we're going to talk about the name of Jesus. I want to start with John chapter 14. If you guys can give me those verses on the screen up there. John chapter 14, 12 through 14. I'm going to read today. I want you to be able to see this. Hallelujah. It starts and says, I tell you the truth. John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14 up there. I tell you the truth. How many like someone that tells you the truth? How many like liars? No? How many know that the devil's a liar? How many know that the word of God is true? Amen? So I like truth. I don't like lying. You know? I don't want someone that lies to me. You know? Revelations 21:8 says there's a place for liars. Amen? It's not in heaven, I'll tell you that. But it says, I tell you the truth. You know, sometimes the truth, it may not feel good. It may be hard. It may hurt. But I want the truth. I want the truth. I want the truth of the Word of God. I don't want someone to lie to me. I don't want someone to tell me I'm going to go to heaven if I'm living a life of sin and I'm going to go to hell. Right? Because that's not going to change anything except for the truth. So we got to understand the truth. So it says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's a truth. Jesus, start by telling you, I'm telling you the truth about this. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, anything? Right? You ask anything in my name. All right? Well, we need to understand what anything means. Okay? Sometimes we look at the Word of God and we look at these things and we think that in the name of Jesus is like the abracadabra word. You know? Just, oh, abracadabra, I'm going to say in the name of Jesus and abracadabra, it's going to be done. Because he said I could ask anything in his name. But you know, it reminds me of one of my favorite verses in Psalms 37, verse 4. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, that's wonderful. That sounds great. I have lots of desires of my heart, right? But verse 5 says, commit, and he will bring it to pass. See, there's always a level of our commitment that is required. Because when we are committed with the Lord, then we are putting ourselves in alignment with what God wants. Amen? So when we ask anything in the name of the Lord, it should come into alignment with his word and his will. Amen? But so much so that when we think of in the name of Jesus, I want you to think about that phrase today. In the name. He says, if you ask anything in my name, in the name of Jesus. And then ask ourselves, are we using it appropriately? Or does your in the name of Jesus prayer sound something like this? Lord, bless this food for the nourishment of our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. Right? God, I thank you for this beautiful day. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that it's a wonderful day for me. In Jesus' name. right? You know, we focus so many times of throwing in the name of Jesus as an afterthought at the end of whatever Hail Mary prayer we've thrown up. But you know, if you go back and you read all the prayers in the New Testament, not one ends with the phrase, in the name of Jesus. Because it's kind of our afterthought. Matter of fact, it's at the beginning. If you focus on the Lord's Prayer, right? It says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right? That's at the beginning. It's a focus on holy is your name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is it in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. If we're focused on in the name of Jesus, it's not an afterthought. But instead, we focus maybe on the Lord's Prayer where we kind of come down and we start the gimme part first. Give me my daily bread, right? Give me a good day. Give me blessing. Give me finances. Give me. We start there. We ain't worried about hallowed be thy name. We ain't worried about thy kingdom come. We're not worried about thy will be done. We just go to the gimmies. Y'all got quiet. You may even be one of those that says, you know, forgive those that have sinned against me or not. I mean, you know their heart. I don't know. Because that's the way we think. We're not worried about what really is here. We're not worried about the name. We're not worried about the kingdom of God. It says, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. We have it out of order. We have the name of Jesus and how we use it out of order. And it's important because the name of Jesus deserves our respect. It is holy, right? It is to be reverent. It is to be respected. When the word of God is coming forth in the house, it is to be respected. It is the name of Jesus that is going forth. You know, I know you're like me, right? You hear people that use the name in vain. Oh, and doesn't it just make you mad? Don't it just make you mad when you hear? And you just, well, if you want to have a filthy mouth, you can leave his name out of it. You know what? Don't I just irritate you? Oh, come on, somebody, talk to me. You know? That just irritates me, you know, because the name of Jesus deserves respect. You know, you can go into all kinds of study, actually, on the name of Jesus because, you know, they sang Yeshua this morning, which is the Hebrew name for Jesus, because it wasn't Jesus that they use in Mexico, okay? That was not his name. And matter of fact, if we would translate it in today, it would be Joshua. So it's not Joshua, it's Yeshua. Because his name is important. There is no other name like Jesus. Amen? You know, a focus point I want to give you for today. If you don't take anything else away, write this down or remember this. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray based on who he is, with his authority, in order that his reputation might be enhanced in the world. To pray in the name of Jesus is to pray based on who he is, with his authority, in order that his reputation might be enhanced in the world. Right? In Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20, it says, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Amen? You know, We sometimes get all excited about the things that happen when we use the name of Jesus. The miracles. The demons that are cast out in the name of Jesus. And those things are wonderful, but they're only used to enhance the name of Jesus. It's so that all will come to know him as Lord and Savior of their life. We saw when we were teaching out of the book of John, right? Where Jesus was sitting there, performs a miracle, and he says, but I desire more that you know the Lord, that you go and sin no more. Not that you're healed. I desire that you go and sin no more, because that's his kingdom. His kingdom is fellowship with us when he returns. When we get to enter into, we were talking about it in Sunday school this morning, the new heaven and the new earth. Amen? So our fellowship with him, thy kingdom that will come. He likes order. He likes government. Thy kingdom. But we do have the power and authority in the name of Jesus. He gave authority to you. Do you use the authority that has been given you? Do you use what God gave you? Or do we waste it? Mark 16, verse 17 and 18, it says, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They'll be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Right? These miraculous signs will follow those that believe in the name of Jesus. To know that all power and authority comes through the name of Jesus. It shouldn't be this afterthought when we pray. You know, I've heard people, and I may have been guilty of it myself at times, because we have to have a reflection on ourselves. Is do we put things in the proper order? When you come up and someone comes up for prayer, and you come up for prayer, oftentimes someone may begin to say, I come against sickness. I speak health. I speak life. I speak, in Jesus' name. It's not an afterthought. If we're going to pray for the sick, if we're going to pray for you to be healed, if we're going to pray for you to be set free, it is in the name of Jesus I pray. See, we have to filter everything we do through Jesus, because without him, we are nothing. We get into this whole thing. Well, it was implied. No, it's not implied. Look in the scripture. Did they not use the name of Jesus? When you began to talk to someone that's filled with a demonic spirit, and you began to talk to them, I command you, spirit. That spirit's laughing at you. You're nobody, right? But when you say, in the name of Jesus, I speak to you, spirit, and I command, come on, somebody, right? Does it not change? Now you got that attention of that demonic spirit, that evil thing. Come on, there's evil in the world, right? There's spirits in the world. We have authority to take control of all spirits. Amen? So we have to begin to learn to use the name of Jesus. As we use the name of Jesus, we'll begin to see people set free. We will begin to see the sick be healed. We'll begin to see miracles happen because we've used the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. When Peter came to the temple gate, you've heard the story of the paralyzed man that was there at the temple gate, and he came, and in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, he said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. See, right at the beginning, I love what Peter did. He took the focus off himself. Hey, I got nothing for you. I don't have anything that's going to fix your problem. You come up for prayer today. Listen, at the end of service, we're going to pray for you. I want you to begin to increase your faith right now. Begin to exercise your faith and say, at the end of service, I'm going up for prayer because I need a touch from Jesus. But I want to tell you right now, when you come up for prayer, I want to take the focus off of myself and off of those that will be up here praying for you. We don't have anything to give you. It is in Jesus' name that we'll speak. Because you know what? I can't control your situation. I can't heal an element in your body. I can't cast out a demonic spirit that's oppressing you, but Jesus can. And Peter wanted to take that focus off himself immediately. He got in there and said, I don't have anything for you. But I know who does. Guess what? Here's the thing that we all have to get in our spirits. You also know who does. We get in this thing that we feel like we have to bring them to church, bring them to the pastor, bring them to the apostle, right? But do you not have the same power and the same spirit living in you that is living in me? Come on. Hallelujah. Do you not have the same power and the same spirit living in you that is living in me? That is living in our apostle? That is living in our teachers? Do you not have the same spirit? Peter knew. It's not about me. It's not about me. But I know who it's about. That's why our message, our mission, is we are carrying the message of Jesus. Because you don't have to carry healing power in your hand. All you got to do is carry Jesus in your heart. And when you begin to speak Him, the demons must flee. When you begin to speak Him, faith rises. Those that are sick become healed. Right? Because faith rises. We all have that Jesus inside of us. We all have access to the name of Jesus. He has given us authority to use it. He told us that. We saw it up in John at the beginning, but we also see it here in Matthew 28. He came to his disciples and says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, he had the authority while he was here on earth. He went to hell and rose again. He captured all the authority of heaven and earth, and he gave it to you. Wow. Must God think highly of you? Just think about that. How precious does God revere you? You. That he's to give you all authority in heaven and earth over demonic spirits and sickness. Get that in your spirit today. Get that in your spirit today. Because I understand that a lot of you are going through things. I understand there's ups and downs. I understand there's hardships in your life. But guess what? You have authority right there over your own life. You can speak it in Jesus' name. It's important that we understand that we have access to that power, to that authority, and begin to use it. What I love about Peter here is, you know, Peter didn't waste any time. You know, Peter, he kind of reminds me of me when I was younger. You know, just wanted to hurry up, run in to get into something. Man, you know, I just want to do this. Let me do this. And, you know, I've oftentimes, the parents tell me, you got to slow down. You can't, you know, you got to wait. You can't do this. You're just getting too much of a hurry. But I'm just, man, I'm ready. You know, anybody like that? Everybody just born ready? You know, I'm ready. Karen, I know you that way. I'm ready. You know, you're just always ready to go, ready to jump into something new, ready for whatever. And some people were standing back and wait and watch, you know. Jesus' disciple Thomas was that way. I'm going to observe this first. You know, I need to see the facts. I need to see the data. You know, I'm like, I'm going to make my own data. Let's go. Hallelujah. Come on. You know, so Peter was that way. Jesus said we could do this thing. Let's try it out. You know? And he came and he spoke to that man, get up and walk. And then in Acts 3:16, he says to him, through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Again, what was it for? Why was that healing performed? To enhance the name of Jesus. He says, you know how crippled he was before. You know, I know last week when Apostle spoke, he talked about a man that gave his heart to the Lord right on his deathbed. And it doesn't matter how you lived your life. People talked about him at that funeral. Man, that's a hard one to do. But when you know a little secret, and you know about Jesus, you know that he makes all things new. And it's like Peter says, you know what he was like before, but he's healed now. You know how crippled he was. I don't believe that when Peter was saying that, he was just talking about him because he was crippled. You know? I believe that man that was laying at the temple there, he may have even been a little bit of a thief. You know, if you came by and that watch was loose, he may have slipped up to grab it. He may have put something in his pocket. Right? Because he was a beggar. You know, one time when I was in South America, I had a group. I was talking with this group, and I was about to lead them into the marketplace. You know? And all outside the marketplace, there's beggars. You know, they're laying around. You know, they're begging. They're stumbling around and falling and bumping into you and all this other stuff. And they're trying to steal. They're trying to steal from you. And so I was sitting there talking, and I had my phone in my pocket, and I was telling everybody, now take your phones, put them in your pocket. You know, I said, now take all your jewelry and make sure it's secure. And as I'm sitting there talking in this group, Jackie, were you in this group with me? I did. Oh, thought you meant. I was sitting there talking, and all of a sudden, as I am in the middle of talking, I feel a hand go in my pocket. And this guy's taking my phone. I feel it. And so I just grabbed his arm and lifted it straight up in the air, and I said, like this guy who's trying to steal my phone. And then this guy tried to act all drunk. Oh, I just bumped into you. And then someone came running up. Oh, let him go, let him go. But you know what they were going to do? He was going to pick the phone, pass it off to the other person, and it would have been gone. Why? Because I think beggars will do anything to get what they need. So I don't believe that Peter was just saying, you saw that he was crippled before, but I think Peter was saying he was crippled. He was a beggar. He was a thief. He was probably a liar. He didn't know Jesus. So all the things when you see people that don't know Jesus that comes with it, I believe this beggar represented. So Peter says here, you know what he was like before. But look at him now. He's standing here before you testifying in the name of Jesus. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. You know, you got to have faith. You got to have faith in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. You know, oftentimes when you come up for prayer, if you come up for prayer and you're hoping so, hello, well, I got to go to the doctor this week, so I just want you to pray for me, and I hope everything goes well. I hope this isn't this. I hope. No, we ain't hoping. We have faith in Jesus' name, and we believe. We got to put it in order. We got to put it in order because we have authority in Jesus' name. So when you come up here, I know I got authority in Jesus' name. But if you're not going to exercise your faith, if you're going, well, I hope so, Pastor. No, I'm not hoping for you. We're not sitting up here saying kumbaya. Okay? When you come up here for prayer, we are coming into agreement. We are in our faith, exercising with your faith, that what you are asking for will and shall be done. Come on, give Jesus a hand clap of praise. As you turn the chapter to Acts chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, it says that they, religious leaders and Pharisees, they brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? By what power or in whose name? They knew that there was something special about a name. Whose name did you do this? By what power did you heal this man? And Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Amen. What do we do? What do we, when we stand up to preach, when we pray for you, what do? We call on the name of Jesus. We call on the name of Jesus. It is by His authority. It is by His name that we believe that Christ can heal you and set you free. Amen. It is by His name that we have the authority to do what He's called us to do. It is in His name. We don't have to be questioned by the rulers of this world. It is in the name of Jesus, the powerful, almighty name of Jesus, that we have authority to do this. You know, God has given you special authority in your regions, over your workplaces. You know, I believe that this church is strategically placed here in Bardstown to make a difference in this region, in this community. You know, I'm not going off into some other community. I'm called to this community. I'm called to you. Amen? This is what God has given me. But you know what? Just as He's given me this, He's given you other things. He's given you authority in your area, in your region, over your family, over your workplace. God has given you that authority, and it is by the powerful name of Jesus that you have that authority, that you must begin to exercise that authority. People come and they may say, how did you do that? Because that's what begins to happen. All of a sudden, miracles began to happen. All of a sudden, people's lives begin to get changed, and they come to you and they want to say, what'd you do differently? You know, are you taking a new special, you know, shake-up drink? What is it that's giving you all this life and energy? No, it's Jesus. You know, they want to know. They want to, by what authority, by what power, by what thing? Are you doing yoga? You know, they want to find out something. What are you doing now? You're just so different. We began to discuss what people, oh, well, you know, I've been exercising. No, you haven't. You know, jumping up and down praising at church is an exercise. But when Jesus gets in your life, it makes a difference. But people always want to debate things. You know what? I could take all the young boys in this room, all up here, all the guys that like NBA basketball, and I could say, who's the greatest? You know, and they're going to toss out 2-3 names. It's going to be a debate. Arm wrestle, whatever. You know, Michael Jordan's going to be in the mix. LeBron's going to be in the mix. Depends on who you like next. There may be a third person in the mix. I don't know. It'd be a debate, right? And you can debate who's the greatest in basketball. I could get some of the other men around here and I say, what about the greatest NFL quarterback of all time? And some of you delusional people say Tom Brady. Others are going to say, you know, Brett Favre or Peyton Manning or Joe Montana or, you know, Roger Staubach. I mean, we're going to throw a name. We can debate it, right? When it comes to boxing, I can begin to say, who's the greatest? Oh, there's going to be all kinds of people. Some people are going to talk about the rope-a-dope, right? Others are going to talk about Mike Tyson. He'll eat your ear off. I don't know. But it's debatable. It's debatable. All these things that we focus on all these things in the world, they're debatable. But you know what's not debatable? Do you know what's not in question? Who's the greatest? Who's the most powerful? Who has all authority? The name of Jesus. It's not debatable. It's not debatable. I mean, even in the Old Testament, when he came before Pharaoh and their gods began to show off their powers, throw down their sticks and become snakes, he threw down his and it ate them all. Right? They said, I don't even know who this God is. Because this is a God of all power. This is a God that has all control and all authority over all demonic spirits, over all addictions. There isn't an addiction that God can't set you free from. Well, you don't know. No, I don't have to know. That's what people love to tell you all the time. They love to tell you about their story, about what you don't know about them. But do you know what's great? You don't have to know anything about a person. All you got to know is about Jesus. So why don't we use that more? Why don't we exercise that authority? Acts 4:12 says, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. That means he's the name above all names. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. It's something that we should be excited about, that we serve the Most High God. Do we act like it? Do you walk around acting like you serve the Most High? Or do you walk around like, well, I don't know what happened. I don't know if I can make it through tomorrow. I don't get it. It's the church who's lost its power. It's the church who's given its power away to the world. Because we live in this fear and this doubt. Because the world wants to come against you. Because the world doesn't believe the way you believe. So we let them steal our joy, our peace, our authority. We let them take it. We give it to them because they can't take it from us. Do you know that? They can't take what you have. You have to give it. You have to give your authority away to the enemy. He can't take it. You know, the Word of God says we're going to be surprised one day when we see this little thing that's been a thorn in our flesh, right? This little thing that is what I was afraid of, right? Come on. Just like you've watched The Wizard of Oz. That's what's going to be. What, that? That's what we were worried about? And then we're going to feel ashamed that we didn't exercise our authority over that thing. That we didn't take our heel and crush its head. Because that's the authority that we have in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to give you 6 things we must do when we pray in the name of Jesus. After these 6 things, I'm going to have the praise team come back up. I'm going to have them play I Speak Jesus. And we're going to pray for those that want a touch from the Lord today. We're going to pray for those that are sick. Those that are going to go in, if you're going to the hospital for any procedure, we want to pray for you today. If there's something going on, you say, well, the doctors don't know what's going on. Guess what? Jesus does. And we want to pray for you today. I want you to exercise your faith as you come up here after we read these 6 things that we must do when we pray in the name of Jesus. And believe that Jesus will touch you today. Amen? I want you, after we read these 6 things, if you've been struggling with addictions or oppression or depression, all of these things, I want you to come up here because in Jesus' name you can be set free today. And each and every person that's going to pray for you today is going to say, in the name of Jesus, and then pray over your situation. Because that's the order of how we are to do things. Amen? 6 things we must do when we pray in the name of Jesus. Number 1, when we pray in Jesus' name, we are admitting the value of His name over ours. It's not about me. My name has no value or power. We are just like a bride when they get married. When they come to the groom, they accept his name. Right? They accept his name. We are accepting the name of Jesus over our name. This isn't so I build my kingdom. This isn't so we build our church. Whatever happens is to glorify the kingdom of God. So we pray in Jesus' name, admitting His value over ours. Number 2, we identify with the person of Jesus Christ. When I use the name of Jesus, I'm confessing that I am His and He is mine. When I use the name of Jesus, I'm confessing that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it's not my identity. You know, when Peter was asked, aren't you one of those? Aren't you one of those? And he began, no, I'm not. But later at the gate, he said, oh, I am. Because that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to get that inside of us. Get that inside of us. I am his and he is mine. I am his and he is mine. We identify with the person of Jesus. He came to this earth. He died for our sins. He took stripes on his back for your healing. And he died and rose again. I am his and he is mine. I identify with the person of Jesus. Number three, we pray in his authority. You know, when a police officer is walking around in regular street clothes, you don't look at him and realize he has any authority, right? You don't recognize if a police officer's walking around in plain clothes like this, you don't recognize him any different than the next guy. But when he puts on that uniform, and he puts on that badge, and he has that gun on his side, all of a sudden we recognize his authority, right? When a car is behind you with those blue lights, you start recognizing that authority. Someone else, some other crazy driver flashing you down, you're not pulling over for them, right? Like this crazy person is flashing their lights at me, right? You just take off, speed up. When that other guy comes with those lights, you recognize the authority. So we have to pray in his authority. In his authority, in the name of Jesus. I mean, when you say it, man, it just gives you chills. It just gives you chills at his name, the authority of his name. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when this message came to me, I was listening. Like I said, I told you about last Wednesday. I told you about the way I think about a few things. But you know what? This message came to me when I just heard other people praying and I was watching other preachers. And boy, when they're praying and they're like, in Jesus' name, I was like, ooh, something just rises up every time I hear someone just get that authority in their voice. I thought, man, people need to know about the power of the name of Jesus. Because we spend so much time worrying and focusing on all this other stuff. But it is in Jesus' name that it has authority over our situation. Number four, we submit to his will when we pray in Jesus' name. See, Jesus' authority, it rested with his submission to his Father. When Jesus was here on earth, he said, I do nothing. I do nothing without the Father revealing it to me, without the Father showing me, without having seen my Father do it, right? He submitted to the Father. Jesus was in complete submission to the will of his Father. What happened when I preached to you on Easter about the Garden of Gethsemane? What did Jesus say? Not my will, but yours be done. Lord, if there's another way, let this cup pass from me. Lord, if there's another way, oftentimes we want to pray that way. Lord, I don't want to go through this situation. Take this struggle for me. We have to completely, though, submit to Jesus' will and authority. He was in submission to the Father, and we must come in submission to Jesus. When we pray in his name, if you pray something out of the will of God, it won't be answered. If you come up here and you begin to just pray something out of the will of God, well, you know what? I really want a new husband. Well, I ain't gonna pray that way. It don't work that way. You know, we had a preacher in here one time, a minister, and this lady came up. How old was she when she asked for a baby? 60 plus? Older? She said, I want a baby. And he said, I ain't praying for that. He told her, I ain't doing that. You go on back to your seat. She may have been 70. I mean, this lady was an older lady. He walked up here, I just want a baby. Well, you better get a cat. Because we have to pray in submission to the will of God. Amen? Now, I don't mean that we get up here with all weak prayers and say, well, God, if it's your will, set this person free. No, it's His will. He wants all to be set free. Right? Lord, if it's your will, open blind eyes. No, He wants blind eyes open. Hello? So we have to pray. I'll get to that. That's six. Number seven. I'll wait. But we have to pray according to His will. We have to submit to the will of God. Number five. We are representatives of Him and His interest here on earth. See, Jesus has given His believers power. He has given His believers the power of attorney to represent Him on earth. Anybody know what the power of attorney is? That's when someone else gives you the power to write their name. You ain't getting that yet. Jesus has given you His power of attorney to write His name. If I go to the bank and I pull out a check and I write for cash and I sign my name to it and I write $1 million on it, let me tell you, the teller's going to laugh because he's going to pull it up and she's like, you ain't got no $1 million. We ain't giving you that cash, right? But if I go and I had a check for cash and Elon Musk's name was on it, they meant, they verify the funds, I'm going to get the funds, right? Because he can cash that check. I may not be able to cash that check. I may not be able to write that check, but he can. That's what it is when you have the power of attorney for Jesus. You can write checks that you can't cash on your own, but He can cash for you. So when we began to pray in His name for that healing in your body, I don't have any authority to do it, but by the name of Jesus, I have His power of attorney. Amen? We have to understand. Come on up, praise team. We have to understand. He told us, His interest, go and make disciples. His interest, we are representing Him and His interest on earth. His interest on earth is to go and make disciples. Do we represent Jesus in doing this? We're to go and make disciples. We're to represent Him well. You know, that's why it's such a strong thing for me to have that core value up there of live. We live a life that pleases God and wins respect of others because I'm representing His interest here on earth. We were talking about that in Sunday school today, about representing Jesus. We represent Him in the way we live, the way we act, the way we talk. If people see you throw hissy fits and get mad and let your anger get the best of you, you're not showing Jesus. You're not representing His interest here on earth. If you lie and you cheat and you steal, people aren't respecting you. You're dishonoring the name of Jesus if you call yourself a Christian. Amen? We are representatives of Him on earth. So it's important that when you come for prayer, if you're dealing with things in your life, if you're dealing with sin in your life, that you deal with it because you are representing Jesus. You know, I was listening to Jonathan Shuttlesworth as he was talking about sin and about Christians that, well, I struggle with this, and Christians that, well, you know, I still got this. And he just said, just stop. Just quit. Well, you don't know. Yes, I do. Stop doing it. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to grow up, put on our big boy and girl pants, and stop doing the things that aren't pleasing to God. Do you understand? Well, nothing ever goes my way. Well, suck it up, buttercup. That doesn't give a right for you to throw a temper tantrum. Why they always get blessed and I don't? This happens to them, not to me. How do you represent Jesus? Because, you know, I believe God wants to touch people, and I believe he does. But when you go back and you just keep living the same way, the same way, the same way, doing the same thing, nothing's going to change in your life. Nothing's going to change. You know, if you went to the doctor, and he said, I love red meat. I had a big old steak last night, right? But if he said, if you eat red meat anymore, you're going to die. Guess what? I'm going to quit red meat. But yet, we don't do the same thing with God. We come and find out all these things that are wrong in our life, sin that are in our life, and we say, well, stop doing it. You'll please God. Well, it's too hard. I know I'm getting a little off topic. I'm meddling in your business. But we have to be good representatives of him and his interest here on earth. That's what we're called to do. It's time to grow up, church. When you pray in Jesus' name, when you use his name, realize you're a representative of him. Number six, we must pray expectantly. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we must expect the answer in accordance with his name. There ain't no hope in me prayers. We pray expectant. You know, I know that we've prayed for things and they didn't happen. They didn't come to pass. Doesn't change my expectancy. It doesn't change that I still have the power and authority in Jesus' name to pray for the sick. It didn't leave me. I didn't get just a little bit and I didn't have enough today. It didn't run out. I just got to do the will of the Father. It's to pray believing. It's to take the focus off of me and turn the focus onto him and say, may God get the glory for this. May his glory, his name be enhanced throughout the earth. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, not mine. Thy will be done. Let me tell you why. There's been a lot of prophecies about mega churches. Why? Because they build their kingdom. They're worried about building their kingdom, their brand. My brand is Jesus. That's all I want. I've prayed at the beginning of this year, our focus was to experience the presence of God. That was my prayer. That was what we did during the fast. I said, that's all I want. That's all I want us to focus on, the presence of God. Because I know that in his presence is fullness. It's fullness of everything that we need. I just want the presence of Jesus. You have authority in the name of Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.